authorizing that the City of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Today on Church and State, we'll be joined by attorney Tom Renz. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier. With me, as always, Pastor Gabe Blomgren. Once again, your favorite far-right shock jocks and the most schizophrenic show you listen to on a daily basis.
The only show that's going to cover the two things your mama said never talk about at the dinner table during Thanksgiving, faith and politics, and of course, our referee being Jesus Christ, smack dab in the middle.
Love it. Hey, everyone, get on over to churchandstate.media and download this show specifically. This is going to be just chock full of some great information for all of you. Also, take advantage of all of our fine affiliates. We've got some great ones. Let's talk about gold and silver real quick with Andrew Sorcini and Beverly Hills Precious Metals. You all need to get out of the dollar because the BRICS nations are coming after us. And honestly, I predict that it's going to fall. And so protect yourselves. Get some gold, get some silver, get something tangible that you can actually hold. Use that promo code Church and State, and we'll get a little bit of that back.
Call them. They actually will walk you through the process. If those of you who you've got money locked up in IRAs, you've got money locked up in the stock exchange, you want to actually walk through the process of having a precious metals solid IRA where you actually can hold tangible gold and silver, please call Andrew and his team. They'll actually walk you through this process. So there's no tax burden on you whatsoever. No penalty for leaving the controlled Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation that we have in the stock market.
Yes. Also, you can donate specifically to us. Just hit that donate button. And lastly, if you want to get hold of us, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. All right. It is our absolute pleasure here on Church and State to welcome Tom Renz. Now, if you don't know who Tom Renz is, he's an attorney, author, political analyst, and regular American turned corruption's worst nightmare. Many of you have probably seen videos of him as he's gone after the deep state and Big Pharma, Big Med, all these different individuals. And he's actually lovingly described by his own employees as basically Tom is a very large, angry ogre of a man that loves Jesus. I love that. So, Tom, thanks so much for joining us on Church of State.
Honored to be here, guys. Glad to be with you.
Excellent. Yeah. So let's just get into the brass tacks a little bit. So just in case some of our listeners aren't familiar with you, who are you and why have you taken on such a large endeavor?
Well, I took it on because I promised God. So I'm a nobody from Ohio who I sat in this very chair a little over 4 years ago. And watch as they told us that it was 14 days to flatten the curve, right? They were going to destroy my constitutional rights. They were going to put me under house arrest without any due process for 14 days to flatten an imaginary curve on a disease that was no more dangerous than the flu. Now, you can say, well, they didn't know any of that. Yes, they did. It happens to be that I was working on a master's degree in health science at the time. And had already pulled all the data that the FDA, CDC, and all the rest of them were looking at. And by the time they did the lockdowns, they were aware that this was going to come out to be about as dangerous as a yearly flu bug. They lied to you. They killed you. They killed you in the hospital. They killed you with vaccines. They killed you with social distancing. They killed your families. They killed your businesses. They killed. So I found all this. So I sat in this very chair, and I saw what was happening. And I put my hands on my head and I said, God, I'm a nobody from Ohio. I don't have money. I don't have followers. I don't have a platform. I got nothing. But if you put it before me, I'll fight this the best I know how. And he put it before me. And as is so often the case, ask and you shall receive, but you got to be careful what you ask for, right? So the big man puts this in front of me, and I thought I was just fighting some corrupt Ohio officials that were overreaching on their power. Little did I know that the COVID fight ends up being a cornerstone of what turns out to be the Great Reset, turns out to be a global war for power, and really a foundational piece of the 2020 election steal, foundational piece of the push for socialism that we've seen. I mean, it really was the launching point for so many different things. And, you know, I promised God that I'd fight it. And so from there, and I can't stress enough, who am I? I'm a nobody. The reason I always say that is because I went from a nobody with no connections, no anything. I chose to fight. I chose to follow God, and he raised me up, and now I got a platform. Now I caused some real trouble for some real bad guys. I've done things that are way beyond what I ever should have did. And, you know, a lot of people will say, hey, you're not a nobody anymore. That may be true, but I'm going to keep that mantle because that nobody thing is the most important because it shows you don't have to be a big shot. You just got to be willing to give it all to God and to give it all to the fight. So that's who I am.
That is so well said. You know, as you were describing what occurred, and we all have that memory, it wasn't all that long ago that we were facing all those lockdowns and mandatory vaccines and whatnot. But I go back to Rahm Emanuel, who I've never let a good crisis go to waste. Now, these crises, yep, they can be organic or manufactured. I think most of us on this side understand that the COVID crisis was, in fact, manufactured, and they used that to strip away all of our God-given rights and liberties. And it was at a worldwide scale. It's kind of unique in that we'd never seen before the world as they're pushing towards this globalist agenda. What you and I understand is to be that antichrist system that they're trying to establish. I think that's probably the first time at that world scale that we're actually able to see them all working together in order to implement this goal.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, this was one of the most corrupt and coordinated plans I've ever seen. We see literally the same protocols being placed that killed people in hospitals in every country in the world. Every country in the world just suddenly woke up with the same protocol, right? We see the same social distancing, masking, this, that, and other, all over the world. Every country just happened to come up with the same stuff. Even though there's decades of science showing things that masking didn't work. In September 1st of 2020, I filed the first major lawsuit that was filed against COVID that challenged the basis for the emergency and everything else. And in that lawsuit, we presented hardcore government and scientific evidence that was valid in a court of law that showed they knew masking does nothing to stop the transmission of viruses. They knew that social distancing was garbage. It was an absolute waste. They knew that the lockdowns weren't going to do anything. They were causing more harm than good on every front. They knew everything that they were doing, yet every country seemed to make the exact same mistakes. You're going to tell me that wasn't coordinated? Every single country followed the science wrong by accident or by coincidence? It's nonsense. And so, you know, this was absolutely planned. One of the things that we as Americans tend to lose sight of is that it was even bigger than America, right? So this wasn't just about stealing 2020 from Trump. COVID was much bigger. It was a global Great Reset. This affected every country in the world. It transferred wealth on a global basis. Small businesses around the world were destroyed. Big businesses around the world got bigger. Every member of the World Economic Forum won. Every member of the small business world lost. And that was really part of the point, I think. And now we look at the upcoming Disease X, Project Next Gen, and some of these other things. And folks, just get ready. Round two's coming.
We know and love Clay Clark. So just, he's brilliant. And he's had you on the show numerous times, and he obviously sleeps late into the night thinking about Klaus Schwab and how genetic editing changes you and everything we see about the Great Reset is helping the future. And like now we're okay. Those of you who thought Clay was crazy a while ago, as far as bringing up No Yuval Harari, you know, Mr., you know, the bald, creepy homosexual.
False prophet, maybe.
Okay. Clay was on that bandwagon a long time ago. And now Yuval is on late night. And he's become like this celebrity. This Cinderella story out of like nowhere, as far as, you know, he's got books that are filling up Barnes and Noble. He's got his own little shrine now. And to me, that also was COVID. COVID, according to Noah Yuval Harari, was the end of our privacy. He'll straight up say that now underneath the skin, we all have surveillance under the skin. You know, like, what are your thoughts on all that? It sounds like a Bond movie.
Well, it does, and it sounds like science fiction until you recognize that they've actually done it. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I liken this to a serial killer, right? When someone tells you yeah, I killed 100 people. Okay, you're nutty, and that's not really funny. Just go away, because it's ridiculous. But then they tell you where to find a body, and you find one. Then they tell you where to find a body, and you find another one. And you find 20 more bodies, and they say, yeah, there's 80 more. At some point, you have to start taking them at their word, right? At some point, you have to start saying, yeah, this sounds far-fetched, but, you know. And this is the case with Harari. I mean, he's been talking about all of these different things. He's been talking about these gene therapies changing you, and you find SV40 DNA, which provides for reverse transcriptase. You find, you know, retrovirus type things in it. You find all of these different things. I mean, the guys they're telling us what they're doing, and they're doing it. And they're using Joseph Goebbels as a role model on this. And you can tell, I mean, Harari loves Goebbels, right? He loves Hitler and he loves Goebbels. You can tell because this guy can't open his mouth without high-fiving Hitler. If only Hitler had this technology, right? It's one of the most horrible things ever seen. But yet he keeps getting elevated. I mean, you know, they elevate this Nazi-loving pervert. But anyways, you know, this is mind-blowing to me. But he keeps telling you what's happening, and then it keeps happening. So, I mean, at some point, you may be uncomfortable with the fact that these vaccines do have the capacity to modify your genes. But they do. You may be uncomfortable with the fact that these are truly gene therapies, and that's not disputable. I just released a Substack on that, right? But they are. You may be uncomfortable with the fact that these gene therapy jabs cause cancer. I've got a Substack on that, too. They absolutely do. And in fact, FDA knew they would as early as 2006. I got the document. You may be uncomfortable with the evil and the corruption that you're looking at. And you can close your eyes. You can turn your head. And that's fine. But it ain't going to go away. No. Right? The devil doesn't go away because you don't look at him. And that's the situation we're in. Harari, all of these guys, they're literally telling you what you're doing. And what's happening is, like I said, a page out of Joseph Goebbels. If you tell a big enough lie, you know, you'll get away with it. And sometimes you can just tell the truth. And if it's so big, if you do something so profound and evil, people won't even be able to see that it's true. They won't be able to accept that it's true, right? But this is what's occurring, right? You have literally a group of people that appear hell-bent on taking over the world one way or another, remaking the world one way or another, and, you know, redefining humanity.
They've really set the stage for this. You know, for the longest time, anyone of our ilk was always dubbed as a conspiracy theorist, right? And it didn't matter necessarily what the conspiracy was. You know, you might have some questions about the official story of 9/11 or whatnot. You got put in that box and you weren't allowed out of it. And you know, they defamed you. They said all these things about you that, you know, this person's crazy. They're not credible. Don't listen to them. And then they implement this plan. And it's so fantastical that you're right. The average person just can't wrap their brain around this, that there would be an evil group of people, these elitists, who literally want to depopulate the world by any means necessary and are using a crisis to establish a global government to pass that off into the Antichrist. Now, I did want to turn that conversation actually into that biblical lens here, because we've been saying it for a long time. I'm sure you're probably saying the same thing. But as we read Revelation, you know, it was a warning to us that we would see all of these signs. It was a time for us to come out of our shells, if you will, especially the American Christians, and get more people to believe in Jesus Christ and to save some souls and get more people into heaven. The enemy seems to be reading this book as well. They're very familiar with it. And they're like,
oh, yeah,
that's a great plan. We should implement that, right? Let's do all this. And then we'll finally usher in this utopian society, which they seem to be able, or they seem to think that they can accomplish. I loved your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, listen, yeah, I mean, I'm an unabashed and proud Christian, right? So, you know, on the lawyer side of me, you know, I can provide you a lot of evidence and a lot of this and a lot of that. On the faith side of me, I can tell you, you know, I've read the book, read it quite a few times. And, you know, if you look at Revelations and you look at some of what's going on, it's almost like these bad guys use it as an instruction booklet. You know, it's like they look at, well, the bad guys are going to do this in Revelation, so let's get on it. And it's really an odd thing. I grew up as a Christian. So to me, it's like, okay, if the Bible's going to tell me what the bad guys are doing, shouldn't I try and do the opposite? But these guys are like, that's what we're doing. We're in. It's like they forgot to read the very end about who wins.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. It's shocking. I mean, you know, we look at you know, some of these horsemen things, and it says in the Revelations, it'll come like a thief in the night, right? So I'm going to tell you, first of all, I'm going to tell you how I live this, and then I'm going to tell you what I think about it. I'm a sinner like everybody else. I make all sorts of mistakes. I don't live up to what I ought to, you know, but I'm doing my best, right? And I figure Christ said, you know, this will come like a thief in the night, and the servant doesn't want to be sleeping when the master comes home, right? So I continue to sin. I continue to try not to sin, but I fight like hell, because when he gets home, I want to make sure I'm fighting.
Come on.
I don't know if it's end times. I can't know if it's end times. He specifically said I can't know. But he said that there'll be signs. Okay, so now I go to what I believe, right? So I'm living like, you try and live every day like it's your last, because if you don't, you're wasting life, right? So I try and do that. But at the same time, then, you know, the Christian in me, looking at Revelations and this and another, you see certain things, you know, you see Mark of the Beast. Well, they talk about literally having a digital ID that's connected to your body, that's permanent with you, that connect, you know, your vaccine, your money, everything. So you can't participate in commerce without this ID. Well, that sounds somewhat biblical. We look at things like famine. Well, look at what they're doing to the food supply. The mRNA stuff in the food supply, killing the animals, all the farms, all the that are on fire, all the airplanes crashing into processing plants, you know, all of these random things. You know, you can't use nitrogen in the fertilizers anymore because what? We want to have production go down? And these are things that are going to be taking course, really kind of manifesting over the next couple of years. So you have famine. War and rumors of war. Well, I mean, anybody see the terrorist attack in Moscow? What's going on in Israel? Right. You know, Ukraine, all these different things. You know, you look at pestilence. Well, like I said, we just had COVID. We're getting ready for disease X.
Yep.
You know, they've already announced that. They're working on it. They're creating it. They're facilitating it. You know, we look at these different things. We look at these signs, and they're there. Now, does that mean to me that I'm, you know, am I going to tell anybody that tomorrow the end's coming, so you got to be ready? No. And I personally, just as a Christian, am of the belief that, you know, the Sodom and Gomorrah story, you know, there's a couple stories. God, if we can find 100 just men, will you save the city? Okay, I can't find 100. How about 50? How about 20? How about if I can find one just person? And yeah, so I'm of the belief that maybe if we pull it together, maybe if we come together under Christ, if we come together and we're good people, and if we can inspire people to find him, maybe God in his mercy will hold off those end times that he said we don't want to live through. And that's important to me because I got two little boys.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to have to go through the hell that's going to be the end times. If they do, I'm going to try and make sure they're strong enough to survive it and to survive it well and to do well and to follow Christ and know what they're doing. But, you know, God was pretty clear. That's going to be a pretty rocky road when that happens. And, you know, I got to do what I can to protect my family, my boys, my loved ones, the people around me, and, well, anyone I can protect.
Tom, if you could describe yourself in an analogy, I do. The Shrek one was pretty fitting, but like, this is how I see you and how I actually see Caleb and I, as far as like, there is a bike that Bob Ferguson, the attorney general of our state, and you know, the wicked governor that we have, Jay Inslee, who creates so many problems for us during these pandemics, shut down our businesses, and then weaponized the health department. The health department actually ended up being the sheriff. It wasn't the sheriff who shut down business. It was the health department. So that's who was actually the sheriff. It wasn't our sheriff. Our sheriff didn't stand up for us whatsoever. But these guys, the only thing I can do is A, stay here, be like a stick in the spoke of the bike that they're riding And just, it hurts being jammed up in the bike wheel, and or I move to Idaho. Those are my choices. Yeah. And even in Idaho, it's just a temporary reprieve. It's coming there too. Boise's turning into a liberal capital. So like, how do represent yourself through an analogy? Like how do you keep doing this?
Well, I mean, what's my option? Quit. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, again, I got two boys and I promised God I'd fight. I don't know. I mean, I don't let myself entertain the luxury of not fighting. So I'm going to keep fighting until I've won and we're free, or God tells me I'm done. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're right about Idaho. Idaho's very, very much doing like every other state. And they're doing it the same way in Idaho that they do in every other state, right? So we actually have info on this, and I've spoken about this. I've done a lot of work on this. The Republican Party basically has been infiltrated by Democrats. What they'll do is the billionaire donor class will spend a lot of money paying a Democrat to run as a Republican and, you know, funding the hell out of that, and then have Democrats cross over to vote for that that rhino. And then that rhino will get elected, and it's not really Republican, but it's got an R by their name. And so you've got a lot of places where the people are too stupid or too lazy to follow up. And so you end up with a bunch of leftists in charge. We have that in Ohio. Ohio's a very red state. But we're ran by, you know, Mike DeWine is one of the most liberal leftist crooks on the planet. He belongs in a lot of places, but not in the governor's seat. You know, I mean, we see that even Oklahoma, Missouri, some of these very, very red states, Idaho too. You've got a lot of rhinos, and they know the left knows that on the state level, a state can have so much power in this country. And so they've got to do everything they can to make sure that the Republican Party actually doesn't become an America First Party or a MAGA Party. They do everything they can to infiltrate and to undermine, and they're very clever. Some of it is, you know, they don't just buy people off. Sometimes they fund opponents in primaries. Sometimes they fund this or they fund that. You know, it's not always a direct attack, and sometimes it's very hard to trace. But the Republican Party is probably the biggest part of the problem. Because you never know whether the GOP is actually supporting us or stabbing us in the back. And that's why, you know, the America First movement is so important. Because without that, you know, the Republican Party continues just moving farther and farther left. So, you know, at this point, I fight because there's no choice. It doesn't matter where I go. You're not going to find a reprieve, right? You're not going to find a reprieve. When they're talking about, I mean, they can create. I literally can show you the documents. I can show you that they can create aerosolized vaccines. They have them. They can transmissible vaccines. They're going to put it in your food supply. They can steal elections. They can do whatever they want. Basically, we can pretend the devil's not moving, but he's moving. And you don't get the option of negotiating with the devil. Because if you negotiate with the negotiation only works when it's done in good faith. And you can't trust the devil. So you can't negotiate with them. The only thing you can do with evil is eradicate it. You have to destroy it. You have to root it out. You have to remove it. You have to destroy it. And you have to make sure that there's at least someone that's ideologically pure to the values of freedom and the values that America was founded on. We're never going to get to a perfect utopian God-based society until Jesus comes back. But we can get back to the constitutional republic that we founded, that was founded here on this property, and we can get back to those principles if we're willing to fight for it. But we're going to have some serious work to do. And so basically, to me, to answer your question, it's freedom or bust, and I don't see another option.
It's so well said, Tom. You brought up so many great points there. You know, it's you know, compromising with the devil. It's like wrestling with a pig, right? The pig enjoys it. You get dirty. There's no victory for you in that. But I want to return to a couple of the points you said there. Number one, you were talking about all these different signs that we're seeing in the Book of Revelation that seem to be coming to pass. And you're right. We don't know the time, but we can see the season, which is what Jesus said. And so, one of the things that we're also witnessing right now is the attacks on people who are Christian and people who are patriotic, right? And so as far as Christianity goes, there are so many of these weak churches everywhere. And I'm not just speaking about America. I mean, it is a worldwide issue that the church has grown completely weak. You can make the argument that it was taken over by Marxists and this is the end result of this. But if I'm a Christian and I'm seeing the times just like you, why not fight? Like, if we don't know specifically when it's going to be coming at us, why not fight like heck to ensure that our children aren't having to be raised exactly what you described, where they're going to be tough enough to survive the current situation? Why don't we see that mentality more in Christians? And then you can probably answer the second question along the similar lines with patriots as well. We see a lot of people, they may get the "We the People" tattoo on their arm, but they're literally taking no effort. They're not doing a single thing to ensure that constitution that they supposedly love because they got a tattooed on their arm, that it actually maintains itself here in the United States.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm Catholic. So my church is probably the leader in selling out. I mean, we literally have a church where my Pope and a bunch of crooked bishops take the money that we tithe on Sundays and use it to defend pedophiles. It's sick. That's why I don't give them any money. But I mean, you know, the churches are institutions of man. The real church, the Church of Christ, is between man and Christ. And, you know, that's the true church. And that occurs within your spirit and your soul. The churches have been manipulated for a very long time. And one of the things that I think is really interesting when we talk about the Christian side of this, because you talk about the patriot and then the Christian. Well, the Christian side of this, there's this absolute lie that's promulgated everywhere. Jesus said, turn the other cheek, so you have to always choose kindness. That's bull crap. That's Jesus braided a whip and went and beat some people's rear. Jesus said there'll be a time for the sword. Now, Jesus is Jesus. So he could have just snapped his fingers and eliminated every bad on this planet without a problem. I ain't Jesus, so I got to fight a little bit harder. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus said, turn the other cheek, he said, if your neighbor sins against you, so you want to sin against me, I should forgive you, right? You want to sin against an innocent? We got a problem, right? Because what he didn't tell me to do is to be weak or to be a coward. He didn't tell me that I shouldn't defend an innocent child or someone who is being attacked by someone more powerful. If you have power, if you have strength and you use it to attack an innocent, and I stand by and do nothing, I'm a coward and I'm a sinner. It is my absolute duty to fight for those that can't defend themselves. You know, I may not be a big shot, and maybe I've gained a platform, so maybe I'm a bigger shot than I was when I started, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't give a crap who it is. I see a bully attacking someone innocent or weak, I stand up. If you see a child being victimized, and the most plain example I can give to this is this whole turn other cheek. Well, you can't fight. You're Christian. Bull crap. So you're telling me if you were to see a child being raped, you'd walk away? Then you're worse. You're as bad as the rapist. You're as bad as the rapist. We have an absolute duty before Christ to defend our brothers and sisters in Christ who may not be able to defend themselves. And the idea that we are supposed to be meek, quiet little lambs in the face of evil, in the face of evil attacking our brothers and sisters in Christ who may not, meekness is wonderful as a personal trait. But if I see you attacking someone else and I don't stand up, I am a sinner, and it's a lie. And this whole idea that we as Christians have to choose, there is nothing about choosing kindness in the Bible. It says, treat people like you want to be treated. I want to be treated justly, not kindly. So what does that mean? That means that if you sin against me, I should forgive you. But if you sin against someone else, I want to ensure justice is done, right? I don't want to stand aside and let you continue to go rape the next child. I don't want to stand aside and watch you commit the next atrocity. I want to stop you from doing that because you've demonstrated that you can't be trusted to do the right thing, right? So that's the Christian side of this, I think, comes from a long line of us telling everybody, well, you're Christian. That means you got to turn another cheek. You do if they sin against you. But you have an absolute duty to stand up for God's word and to ensure that the weak are protected. I'll stand behind that to anybody that wants to argue it. on the Patriot side, I think a lot of it is, you know, we got a lot of guys that like to, you know, they'll get the tattoo of the Constitution. They'll get to this. They like to, you get the guys that want to grab their toxic masculinity, but it's lost, right? I am proudly in touch with my toxic masculinity.
Yes.
I am an unapologetic man who likes doing man things. If there's a bar fight and I come out with a loose tooth, then yeah, that's the way it is, right? I still train, I still martial arts box, I do that sort of thing. You know, I'm quite okay with my toxic masculinity. But you know what masculinity is? Masculinity means that I'm a protector and a provider and a fixer, right? I want to take care of people. I want to protect people. I want to fix people. I treat my family with respect. I treat all people with respect unless they don't deserve it, unless they've lost my respect. And I think that we've lost that. A lot of our patriots that want to fight, they've lost the confidence to be the men that they need to be. And so most of the time when I want to find fighters, I end up looking for the women. Because the women... Ooh. Have become mama bears.
I've just got to.
They've become
that right there. There's a lot of guys right now who are like, they hate that, what you just said, but it's true.
Well, I'm telling you, it is. Then man up and quit being a wuss. That's what I'll tell you about it. And I'll tell you, I've had people, I've said this on stage, and the women will stand up and clap, and the men will look like I'm the devil himself. But I'm going to tell you something. What have you done today? Why is it that when I go do a speech, I'll have 100 women lined up to tell me about what's going on with their kids,
right,
and why they're protecting their kids. And every one of the men standing next to him looks like he's lost and confused. That's horse crap. We as men have failed. And so if I want to find fighters, more often than not, I got to go to the mama bears. Now, the mama bears are there by default, right? They're there because, guess what? We didn't do our job to protect mm-hmm. the kids, to protect the family. Mm-hmm. Those mama bears will defend their babies if they gotta. And what we've had happen on the Patriot side and the Christian side is so many of us, especially the men, there is no single demographic that is more attacked than men, right? I even saw a thing in there was a study out of, I want to say Arizona State, I could be wrong about that, where they talked about black male privilege. So you know white privilege? Well, if you're a male and you're black, apparently you've got privilege too, because you know anybody with a penis has privilege now. And I'm going to tell you, this whole thing is just nonsense. It's nonsense. And what it's done is it's demasculated us. It's made it so that we're not fighters. And it's taken a lot of our best people and put them off the side. They feel like, well, what can I do? Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. And the reality is that you can. You've just got to be willing to sacrifice. You can't be lazy. And you've got to recognize how critical it is that you fight. I don't say this to attack anybody. I say this to inspire you. Man up if you don't like it. Prove me wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. That's what I want to see. I want the next speech I give to have 150 dads show up and tell me what they're doing to defend their kids. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled for the mama bears. I love them. But I would just one time, like to see the men show up as men.
Man, that is fiery and so necessary. I love everything that you just said there. We've been challenging lately our audience that exact same thing. What are you doing? You call yourself a patriot. You call yourself a Christian. You say, you know, we were born for such a time as this. But are you really? Are you really taking action? And I echo what you just said about dads. Because men, I mean, we've seen it more times than we can remember. It's the women who show up. It's the women who are willing to say, nope, they're not doing that to my child. They're not pumping that child full of vaccines. And men, you know, they've let women lead. And look, there's nothing wrong with the mama bear, but how much more effective is the whole bear family going to be if Papa gets involved and nobody's touching those bear cubs? That's what it comes down to.
Hey, Tom, there's a quote I just want to hit you with. And my point is asking, I'm about ready for some tough times. I feel like tough times, Jesus, you know, even Paul talked about going through adversity, you know, going through pressing through and finding at the end of your rope what perseverance produces, Paul talks about. There's this quote, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. And we're at the bottom of this cycle. And I can't remember the real actual in my lifetime of, but the closest I ever got to a hard time was 2008 when, you know, we had TARP funds and there was, you know, I made some risky moves and I got hit a little bit in the stock market, but I've never, ever had to really suffer. And I think it shows in our young men.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you wholeheartedly. So I'll tell you a personal story. It's kind of a, it's an ironic thing for me to say, but I'm going to tell you about the greatest gift that's ever occurred in my life. The summer before my senior year of high school, I was blown up in a gas explosion. I had no skin from the waist up. And according to the doctors, it was the single most painful injury a human being can endure. It was one of two things worse than childbirth. It was a horrific thing to go through. I will tell you, it was painful on a level. And back then, the best they had for painkiller was morphine. And it turns out I'm allergic to morphine. Mm. So for the duration of that healing process, when they would come in and when you're burnt, you know, they got to come in, they got to scrub those burns 50 times a day. And, you know, I couldn't do morphine. So they would give me something to bite down on. I mean, they give me some lower quality painkiller stuff, but they would give me something to bite down on. And they have a shock team because I frequently go into shock from the pain and pass out. And it was a hell of a thing. It was a rough bit, right? I say that's the greatest blessing that's occurred to me. Think about that, right? Think about that statement. Well, he's a masochist, right? So before that, you know, I was a big guy. I spent a lot of my time in the weight room. I'd broken every strength record in high school you could break. I was a monster of a young man. And I worked harder than anybody you've ever seen to earn that. I didn't get it because I was, you know, gifted. I got it because I worked harder. You know, I was one of the most dedicated, hardworking people you ever met. I get done with the burns. I get done with the hospitalization. I come out and, I'll never forget the first day I went to the weight room after that. It was the one of the most painful days of my life on so many levels. So first thing I do, I get, you know, get the release from the doctors and everyone to go back. I go to the weight room. My skin on my arm was all as baby skin, like you get after a burn. And so every time my arm flexed, the skin would tear and I'd get streams of blood. And that was bad and it hurt. But what hurt worse was as a 17-year-old boy, I identified as being the big guy. I was the biggest, strongest guy in the school by far. That's who I was, but not anymore. You know, however long a bed rest it took for me to recover from those burns, I lost all my strength. I was weak as a baby. And so I had lost every bit of everything that I'd earned and everything that I had identified with as a 17-year-old boy. And so I went home that day, and my dad was involved, and he blamed himself for me being blown up. So I had no one to talk to because I didn't want to put that burden on him. It wasn't his fault. It was an accident. But, you know, I had no one to talk to about it. And it was going through a lot of pain. And I'm not a crying guy, right? I'm not overly in touch with my feminine side. I don't spend a whole lot of time crying or anything like that. It's only been a couple times in my grown life that that's ever happened. But that day I cried. I cried like a baby. I got home from that gym. I took the Bible. I locked myself in a room so my mom and dad wouldn't see because I didn't want dad to feel bad. And I cried like a baby to God. And I asked him why he took everything away from me. And why he put me through this. And why a self-pitying little wussy. It was a rainy, cold, crappy, cloudy Ohio day, 40 degrees and just awful out. For no apparent reason, God moved me to go look out the window. And you got to understand, to look out a window in that room, I had to actually move furniture because of the way that room was laid out. But I felt compelled, so I moved furniture to go look out the window. I just had to go look out the window. When I looked out that window, I saw a rainbow, and I remembered God's promise to Noah. I immediately knew what it was. And he put it in my heart. And I learned from that. That event that I thought was the worst thing ever ended up being the greatest gift that God gave me because he made me tough. I got through the most pain a human being can live through. I not only survived it, I thrived. I came back and was stronger than ever, better. I earned it all back plus some. I worked my tail off to regain everything. But you know what? When I regained it, I knew one thing. I was more than just a strong guy. I was more than a big guy. I would never identify again as a one-dimensional character. I learned that God had plans for me, and maybe one day I end up in a wheelchair. Maybe one day I don't. But whatever plans he's got for me wasn't just because of how much I bench. Wasn't just because I'm... So it ended up being one of the greatest gifts. It made me strong. It made me tough. It made me learn to understand that nothing's forever. And that I don't have a right. Even if I earned being the biggest, strongest, everything I got's a gift from God, and it can be taken in a snap. So you mentioned, and I actually remember where this came from. I'm good at that sometimes. Hard times make hard men. Hard men make good times, right? I've had the great privilege in my life of going through a lot of hard times. Been bankrupt. I've been down. I've been out. I've tried everything. I've broke more bones than I could lift. I've been injured more times than I can count. I have lived an immense amount of life. The greatest gift God gave me was that life that I lived and the pain that I suffered, because it made me who I am. And that's why you say, why do I fight? When am I going to stop? When I win, or when God tells me I'm done. I don't care which one comes first, because I've already been through hell and back so many times, it don't matter to me. I'll go through it one more time. That's no big deal.
Well, I thank you for sharing that story, a very, very personal story. It's quite compelling. You can clearly see God's plan in your life there, because if you wouldn't have gone through that experience, who knows if you would have had the intestinal fortitude to go through and fight this big government that you're currently fighting. You know, your strength wouldn't have gotten you through that. But because you went through what you went through, now you're tough, as you said. And you're tough enough to say, I don't care how big of a giant you are, government. I've got 5 stones, and I'm going to take you down.
Yes, sir. Well, I got God at my back, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gave me that rainbow. When I needed it, he had my back. Now, he didn't make it easy, but he didn't ever promise it to be easy. You know, easy and right are very rarely the same thing. And, you know, everybody thinks, one of my personal pet peeves in life is, oh, but I deserve to be happy.
Right.
Bull crap. You don't deserve crap. You know what you deserve? Nothing. You deserve the rights that are guaranteed to you by our Constitution, and the freedom to choose faith or not given to you by God. Right? That's what you deserve. Everything else is, you know, if you're lucky, you got it. So this whole, I deserve happiness, I need to chase my happy, bull crap. You know, if you're a good person, you'll get your happiness when you go to heaven. Until then, get your ass in gear and fight. We got bad guys. You know, we got all sorts of horrible things. You're going to put your head down. You're going to ignore the evil in this country and in this world because you're too busy chasing your happiness. Well, it's too much work. I already work from 9 to 5. What else can I do?
Right.
Well, guess what, brother? 9 to 5 is the first quarter of the day for me. And, you know, that's interesting because of the 8 hours, right? You make more hours in the day to work more because you've got a lot to do. And that includes making time to pray with my kids and to see my family. My wife's fighting cancer right now. We're fighting bad guys. She's got stage 4 cancer. My kids are growing. I mean, and I still, if I don't get a 12 to 16 hour work day, feel like I'm slacking, because God didn't promise us easy. He didn't promise us that at all. He said, you know, the world is what it is. We live in a fallen, we made it a fallen world. He gave us Eden. We just blew it, right? So we live in a fallen world. It wasn't promised to be easy. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of joy when you do what's right, when you do what's good, when you follow God, and when you fight for what's right. So, you know, I choose to do that.
I want to change
my ability.
I want to change the world. Or the word meek. I want to describe a character trait about you and Clay Clark that I'm seeing. Clay works crazy hours. We got to spend time with him, and his wife doesn't fight him on it. There's no drama. She doesn't give any drama because he works 6 days a week. She understands that the world is literally going to hell and we have to do something now. And I know your
wife is a good woman. Vanessa's a great girl.
She's just a trip. There's so many women who would probably be complaining and whining because their husband goes to bed at 9 o'clock and then wakes up at 3 in the morning. And I know your grind, and you share that same grind. General Flynn shares the same grind. Even Donald Trump wakes up at crazy hours and gets probably an average of about 5 hours of sleep. Why? Because the world's going to hell. But I want to take that word meek back, because the root word is Greek, and it comes from a term. It's actually pronounced, it sounds like proud. It's actually, the Greek word is prouse. And that word meek was a description of horses in battle that the Romans had developed that under, like, sword noises and explosion and fire and catapults, they would not flinch. That is the perfect description of the meek shall inherit the earth. And right now, Clay Clark, he's inheriting a portion of the earth. You're inheriting a portion of the earth. I choose to inherit a portion of the earth like you. It's not because I'm soft and I'm tender, like a little baby pussy lamb. Whipped boy. Okay. I'm sorry. That is not the description that meek is. I have been given a spine, and that is description. Those guys inherit the earth. Those guys get it. It's not the early bird that gets the worm. It's the meek man who gets the worm, because under pressure, under the sound of gunfire, under the sound of threats from Planned Parenthood, he stays like that horse, unflinching, right into the fire. And that word has been, it's been decimated. And I want to take it back, because that's truly the description. Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth. If you can't stay away from drama, there's no drama in you. There's no drama in Clay. It's just wake up, kill the enemy, go to sleep, do it again.
Yep. Yep. There it is. I mean, and there's no hate, right? Someone asked me one of the more surprising interview questions that I've ever answered. And not because it didn't surprise me, but it surprised the people when I answered it, right? People said, well, someone asked me, you know, how bad do you hate Fauci? I don't know Fauci. What do you mean, how bad do I hate him? I don't know the guy. I don't like what he does. So my work is not about hate. I don't hate Anthony Fauci. I'm pretty sure that he should be hung and buried 6 foot under Gitmo. I say that because of his actions and because the demand for justice. Okay? After a trial, after we've gone through everything, I'm pretty sure that's where it ends up. But understand something. My fight is for God, not out of vengeance. If my fight becomes for vengeance, then I've lost God's backing, right? There's one of the most strategic and important things that's happened to me throughout the course of this fight was there was a moment, and this was one of the best illustrations of the importance of using God as a basis for your fight. So you got a nobody from Ohio, my platform's growing, my name's rising, all these different things, right? I get word that the Washington Post has been assigned to do a hit piece on me. And they spent, the Washington Post, huge, huge Washington Post, owned by Bezos, they're going to do a hit piece on me. They spent like 6 months. And they actually, I grew up in a town of 3,200 people. They called the mayor of that town.
Wow.
They called a 19-year-old fry cook who works for my brother in that town.
Oh, my gosh.
Trying to get dirt on me, right? Whatever they had to do. And they had it set up where once they run their hit piece, it's going to get picked up by every major outlet in the country, which it did. And they worked and they worked and they worked and they were going to take me out. They were going to make it so nobody listened to me. They were going to discredit me. They were going to ruin me, everything, this, that, and other, right? They were going to Kavanaugh me. And they worked so hard on this. And I get word on that the hit piece is coming out, right? It's coming out, and you know, I have no idea what they're going to say. I mean, I don't have that interesting of a life, so I figure, well, they're going to probably just make up most of what they have to say, or they aren't going to find too much. So I look at I'm like, well, what are you going to do, right? I'm a lawyer and I'm a fighter. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to sue their ass, right? Except for no, I didn't. And I'm going to tell you, I prayed on it and I thought about it. And let me tell you what I decided. I told you at the beginning of this interview, I sat like this in this chair and I prayed to God and said, you put it before me, I'll fight your fight your way to the best of my ability. I promised God I'd punch the devil in the face. I really think he wasn't going to punch back.
Right.
I mean, I thought I was going to get a one-shot knockout. I mean, how arrogant am I? Right. So yeah, I'm going to take some punches, but had I sued them and I believe I could have properly sued them for defamation for what they wrote. Okay. And I think I could have won the case, but it's a very hard case to sue over a public figure. And it's a very hard case. I think I could have did it, but it would have taken years. It would have taken all of my time, and it would have removed me from this fight entirely. Because I'd have spent all this time trying to defend my ego and who I am. I don't give a damn whether you like me or not. I'm not. That's not what this is about. So you know what I did? I went out, and you guys know who Brandon House is? He does, yeah. He's on Patriot mm-hmm. TV. He did Liddell TV. So House is a buddy, and I went on his show. And I said, House, they're doing a hit piece on me. He says, yeah. He says, tell me about it. I said, yeah, they've been researching. They got, yeah, they apparently got a lot of stuff. You know, that's coming out, I think, this weekend. And they're going to tell everybody how evil I am. He said, well, how evil are you? I said, well, I don't think they found out what I do with goats on the weekend. House lost it on there. I said, but in all seriousness, House, I said, here's the deal. I don't know what they're going to say about me, but you know what they aren't going to say? That I launched a fake pandemic that killed millions of people.
Right.
So no matter what they got to say about me, I'm not changing what I'm doing. I'm still fighting the fact that these guys have killed millions, and we got to bring them to justice. When I did that, that story ended up having zero power over me. All it ended up doing was giving me more recruits, because that's what I said. Anybody asked me about it, I said, well, yeah, but whatever they say isn't worth my time responding, because it's coming from a group of people who are defending the people that have killed millions with COVID. I'll respond as soon as they ask, they get a response on the COVID stuff. And when we fight these fights, we got to understand who we're fighting for and what we're doing. This is about God. This isn't about me. This is about defending my fellow man, woman, child, about getting justice. It's not about hate. It's not about anger. It's not about, I mean, don't get me wrong. I got my share of anger. I'll never forgive them for the stuff that I had to see during this. But my work is not out of anger. My work is out of a desire for justice, and that won't change.
You know, Tom, there's a brilliant individual that I've kind of molded my life after one specific statement that he said. It's P.T. Barnum. There's no such thing as bad publicity. And I've taken that to heart because I've had hit pieces. The reason why we call ourselves far-right shock jocks is because Vice did a hit piece on us and called us that. So, okay, cool.
Congratulations.
We're called us cran eaters as well.
Yeah, so it's fun, right? But if you don't pay them attention, and with the understanding that there is no such thing as bad publicity, that's how you found your tribe. I made this statement the other day on the radio that in a lot of ways, 2020 was actually a great year for me. Because great oppression breeds great opportunity. We saw so many people that had been, apathetic towards politics or getting involved in the civic theater. And they came out in swarms. And we got to meet so many incredible individuals who joined us in the fight. And in reality, we pushed back their plans considerably because of our reaction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, this did not go. We won the COVID fight. I mean, it wasn't a perfect victory. But, you know, the plan was 90-95% vaccinated in this country by the best judgment. At most, we're at 75%, but I don't think that it's actually that high. 25% got zero, according to the studies. And I would say, probably less than 50% got more than one. It's hard to say for sure. But at the end of the day, their vaccination plan failed epically. And the thing about that is that created a control group, and it was all because of the fight. I mean, we fought like hell, and the people, the 25% that didn't get it, lost friends, lost family, lost loved ones, gave up their jobs, gave up everything. And so those people are fighting. And now when we see turbo cancer, we see all these vaccine injuries, we see all these things happening, those same people, you think you're going to shut them up when they, when about after what they went through? Hell no. We have a huge army of people who are now awake and who are never going to shut up on this.
Yeah. You know, the thing about it is, oh, go ahead, sir.
The thing about it is that the truth is cheap.
Yeah.
Big Pharma can lie to you in their advertising all they want to lie, but the truth is cheap and it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah.
We've got the truth, and we've got enough people to push it.
We might not be immune to whatever comes next, you know, disease X, whatever it may be, another COVID variant. But you know what we are immune to? Propaganda.
Yeah.
Those of us that were in the fight who didn't get the vax, never believed any of it, we will never fall prey to your propaganda.
Yeah.
No.
Hey.
Not after this.
Tom, we have about 5 minutes and we don't want to keep you much more than an hour, and we just appreciate your time. But I just wanted to highlight General Flynn. He's somebody who we really aspire to be like. He talks about local action producing results. He also says courage is contagious. That's one of my favorite things that he says. If we just make the decision to be courageous, people follow. And you're proof of that. He's coming to our city. I want to highlight, we have right here, flynnmovie.com. If anybody wants to check out this week, go to his website, flynnmovie.com. Is he coming to your city or somewhere near you?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. I do a show with him and Clay every week. And I literally, when I finished recording, I jumped on with you guys. But I haven't had the opportunity to talk to him. I've known the general for quite a few years, and I'm blessed to say that. The way that I view it is, and I don't know if he views it the same, but I consider him a good friend. I got his back, but we're both soldiers. We're both fighting. And, you know, basically I don't badger him with anything unless I need to badger him with it. Most of the time I know how to fight pretty well, and I'm pretty self-directed. So I give him whatever intel and whatever else he needs. I coordinate with him as I need to, but I try not to waste too much of his time because that poor man is running ragged trying to save this country. And, you know, he needs people that are willing to go fight, not people who are going to ask him what to do every step of the way.
Exactly.
You know, so the self-directed fighters and the people that can become, if God gave you the capacity to be a leader, and to direct, be self-directed and give you the concept, you know, the wisdom to do that, then you need to do it. Not wait if the general asked me to do something, I got his back, period. But generally speaking, I'm not waiting for orders. I'm looking for fights.
That's good.
What we need out there.
Well, I want to challenge.
I don't know for sure if he's coming. I haven't checked yet, but I'm going to give him a call on it coming up, though.
I want to challenge our listeners to go right now, go to flynnmovie.com. Our technician's going to highlight the Spokane May 25th. There's a place where you can go buy tickets. Also, I want people to go to your website. Where can they find out more about you? Anything that we can send them to as far as anything, whether it's your Facebook page, social media, how can we get people in contact with your team?
Please. So, I mean, I got a Substack, tomrenz.substack.com, but go to tomrenz.com. All the links are there, right? You can find everything there. We've got some of our books up there under the shop. And actually under the shop, we just got, and I got to get it fixed because under the shop, we got some t-shirts, but we got a couple other t-shirts that just the shop for some reason doesn't show. You got to click on the view collection thing. We got a couple that are meant to be funny, kind of picking on the whole, what real men do thing.
Right.
We're just getting ready to roll out a bunch of that. We're going to do a whole real men thing. They're awfully politically incorrect and terribly distasteful, which is why we like it.
You need a cologne line as well that actually smells like chainsaws and like dirt, you know, like real man stuff.
Well, when I have free time, that's how I usually end up smelling. So it's just got an essence of rent.
You know, Tom, I designed a shirt, and if you wanted to produce this, by all means, but it says, don't bring a syringe to a gunfight. And I love that, you know, come take it. You're not shooting me with
it. Dude,
that.
Let's highlight that one again. Go back to that one. It says, real men don't wear man's ears. Say that. Real men wear man's ears to hold their Bill Gates man boobs.
with the laughing emoji. So we're making fun of this because we're making fun of all these things. That one, you know, Bill Gates, I frequently make fun of Bill Gates and his man boobs, right? So he's going to affect my genetics with his gene therapy stuff, but he can't figure out how to genetically eliminate his man boobs. This is a, you know, and we're just kind of poking fun at anything we can poke fun at. You know, the more politically incorrect it is, the better. I really think Gates is one of the most evil monsters out there. You know, I just, the way he funds just things that are just awful. Yeah, of course, his eugenics background from, you know, Planned Parenthood and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, his comment about the useless eaters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy's
just and then killing
the
people, actually lowering, when he says lowering human population, and he says in such a way as if it's so clear.
Vaccines.
Yeah. He wants to lower population. Hey, are you going to be into, you're going to be in Detroit for the Showdown and Motown?
I'm going to try and make it up there. Bernadette is a great friend to me, Pastor Bernadette Smith.
Okay.
And it's a short drive, so I'm going to try and make it up there. Plus, you know, it's like, you know, a boxing bit. So, I mean, that's kind of my alley.
Nice. Yeah. So we're excited. Clay's saying that this is the last Reawaken America tour he's going to do. So, you know, I never know if him and Rebecca are for real on that.
Oh, well, I'll definitely be at Reawaken also. I thought you were talking about Bernadette's boxing event, but she's got a separate event going on up there too, but yeah, I'll definitely be at Reawaken. I'm looking forward to that one.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I hope that you know, they can find a way to keep it going. But, you know, Clay, I don't know if people know this, but Clay Clark has literally put millions of dollars of his own money into making the Reawaken tour happen. Everybody thinks, I love when people call him a grifter.
Money. Yeah.
This guy has lost so many millions of dollars in the freedom fight that it's mind blowing. He has lost his rear end on this. And yet, you know, people call him a grifter. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll definitely be there. I'm very excited. You know, that'll be a fun event.
Yes. Well, we I'm going to schedule either an arm wrestling match with you or either, you know, we're going to schedule a pillow fight with Mike Lindell.
I think he could take us both on.
Can we both together? Fist, so yeah. I'm going to think of some type of challenge for us to do, maybe a push-up challenge or something like that, because you're shredded, my guy. We respect that. So we're going to do something live with you when we're there in Detroit. Sound good?
Let's take on Mark Sherwood.
That sounds like
while
a great time.
It.
Well, hey, we got a former Ninja Warrior guy here, right?
Ooh, yes, that's sir. True.
Okay, so I mean, listen, that's no joke. My son actually went to the Junior Nationals right before COVID.
Wow.
Ninja Warrior. So like, okay. I love that stuff. I actually, when I was a young man, a very young man, I had a job. I used to climb the big tall radio towers. Ooh. And so anything climbing, hanging, swinging used to be my bit. But you know, I'm kind of a big ogre for that.
What do you weigh? What do you weigh?
I weigh about 230 right Whoa. Now. I'm about 6'4 in person. I'm a pretty big dude. I'm in pretty good shape.
Do they build suits for you when you go in court, when you have to actually present to a judge? They build suits that big? Because we've seen Mark Sherwood in a suit. It's hilarious.
Yeah, no, I know. Sherwood's a big dude. Yeah, I mean, no, I have to get them tailored or I look like a clown. If I don't get a tailor, it's the only way I can buy a suit is it's got to be tailored or I look like an absolute clown. So.
Well, sir, we're looking forward to seeing you in Detroit for the Reawaken. We'll both be there as well. And we so enjoyed the conversation. It was great. Very organic, you know, the kind of clowning around here at the end. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, man, this is a great conversation. The best interviews are the ones where you get to actually just have a conversation. It's a great one, so I appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, sir, for your time, and we look forward to having you back sometime.
Please share this with us so that we can help share it and get it out there, and I hope people will support you guys and your work. It's great to – we need more guys with courage to do what you're doing. So, you know, please support us at TomRens.com, but support the Church and State podcast.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Church and State is brought to you in part by Patriot Church.
I'm Pastor Gabe. A calm does not suit me.
I'm Caleb Collier. I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat, It's been freeze-dried. It's been processed by actual human beings. Go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTEAK. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14:2. With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together, and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver, because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to BH-PM.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to BH-PM.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry. Your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a 2-for-1 there. You know you've wanted good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CHURCHANDSTATE.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State. The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want, and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself, or maybe even a doctor for your family, or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsynapse.com. You for sure need to mention Church and State when you go to officialsynapse.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Hello, everybody. It's an honor to be with you.